Welcome to this edition of the Prevention Web People in Disaster Risk Reduction Podcast. Prevention Web, building the resilience of nations and communities to disasters.
I'm Sarah Wade Hutman with Prevention Web, speaking with Justin Sharp. Hello, Justin.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So we've got kids at the back here today,
yes.
And you've been working with kids on disaster risk reduction. Can you tell us how you got interested in the subject and how you've transferred that to your work with kids?
Yeah, I'm a geography teacher. Before I was a geography teacher, I was a web designer, and I've always enjoyed working with children. And I started getting interested in earthquakes and seismology, and I found out from the States that you could buy a seismograph. And I raised the money in the school with parents and the different departments. It was only about sort of £500, but that's still quite a big outlay for any department. So we raised all the money, and then I put it in, and I started putting it online and linking it up to my website. Now that got me interested in a little bit more in earth science. And then in 26th of December 2004, there was the Indian Ocean earthquake and then the following tsunami. And that had a big impact on me, but also on my students. And at the time, the British government and other authorities were advising teachers to help children cope with the psychological effects of such a disaster. You know, where do you look to? Do you look to God? Do you look to man? Where do you look? How can it happen? All those sorts of things. And I thought, well, that's very, very useful, but no one was trying to help them to come to understand the physical processes of that particular disaster. I mean, we know there's human ones as well, and education, which I'll come back to, is very, very important. But one of them was actually no one was telling them about how the plates move and, you know, about plate tectonics and things like that. So I wanted to get them to do that. So I started making little short films of me, which I look back on now and I feel a little bit embarrassed by. But they've had like thousands of hits on YouTube, and some have been downloaded 25,000 times and all sorts of funny things. So I started getting more involved with it, and that started me thinking about disaster risk reduction in general. And because I teach hazards within geography, within A-level, we teach earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanoes and hurricanes, I thought, okay, well, let's try and bring that a little bit more into my curriculum and bring it to them. And I then decided to make a website of this, but I wasn't too sure what the subject matter for the website should be. But then I realised that 70% of my kids are Asian, and they go, and when I say Asian, I mean Pakistani, Indian, Sri Lankan, Bangladeshi, and they go and visit family quite a lot. Pretty much when there's a big holiday, they will go to these countries. But of course there's other kids in the school, and they will go to places like Disney World and Florida, which we know can have hurricanes. And so we have earthquakes in some Asian countries, we have hurricanes in others, tornadoes if you go to all over the state, certainly a bit earlier in the year there's been a lot of tornadoes. Kids don't know what to do, parents don't know what to do, and people are quite blasé when they're on holiday. They won't take the same risks in their normal life, but on holiday people take extra risks sometimes, and kids are no different. So I talked to them about, you know, what sorts of hazards there might be, and I made this website. But I didn't want it to be something that was just didactic, do this because I say so, or do this because so-and-so says so, because I don't think kids always learn. They expect knowledge, but they like to feel that they've discovered. So when I made the website, what I did was had a suitcase label, and you clicked on the different labels, and what that meant was they explored it. And then when they went into those different labels, instead of there being like a Word document which they can copy and paste from, I made each one a graphic. And that's quite cunning, because kids will try and copy and paste.
Right.
It meant they had to read, assimilate, and then write something down back to me for a report or something like that. So it's about using...
It's a sneaky teacher trick.
It is a sneaky teacher trick, actually. It is a sneaky teacher trick. But the thing is, kids are sneaky, and you just need to be a little bit sneakier.
Yeah.
You know, I love kids, but I was a kid once. I know what I would have done had I had the tools and the technology then, so, you know, I don't think things change that much. So we started doing that, but I thought, well, okay, how do I evaluate what they've learned? I can say to people, oh, look at this wonderful website I've made, and the kids love it. But anyone can say that. How do you prove that? And how do the kids, how can they prove it to you? So I did two things. First thing was I said, right, you've got a few weeks, but I want you to go and prepare a go bag. Here are the sorts of things, and this is where you can get them from. Talk to your parents about it as well. Don't just nick your dad's first aid kit or something, or a radio from the car or something, because they'll be upset. Talk to them and tell them why you're doing it. So that was the first stage. And then the second stage, I said, okay, what I want you to do is choose one of the hazards from the website that you've seen and make a film about it. But I tried to make that a little bit more complicated because, like I said earlier, a lot of my kids are from Asia, but also from Central Europe. I've got Russian speakers, Turkish, Punjabi, Urdu. So I said, I want you to make it about this hazard or that hazard. Do it in a different language. So I set them about the task. What I did was, again, I was being a bit sneaky, but you also need to be quite organised with this. I insisted that for homework they made a storyboard, which meant that when they came back into school with their video cameras, or the video cameras that we supplied for them, they weren't running around annoying the school and annoying other teachers. It's a practical thing, but it's quite important for people to know that. What they were doing is actually sticking to a storyboard. And the first results were in French for a volcano and for an earthquake, and they were fantastic. And they're one of probably the most downloaded ones, or certainly was at one point on YouTube. And they're really, really good, and they tell you what to do. But they don't just tell, they show. And it's children showing children, and that's what I wanted. But from that, I realised how much my students had learned, because they were then showing the world. And when I said to them, look, I want to put these on YouTube, and you'll be helping other children around the world, they got even more enthused and more interested in it. And I think that's a very, very interesting way of doing it. And what also happened is they went and they told their parents, and their parents would contact me. And, you know, because there's sometimes with these things, there are... yeah, things get lost in translation. And one of these was, I had a mother ring me up saying, he's bringing his emergency kit in. Is he supposed to bring a sleeping bag? And I said, no, it's supposed to be, you know, taking with you. It's an emergency blanket. And I explained what an emergency blanket was and where you could get it from. And then she went, oh, that's really interesting. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. And so I realised at that point that by, you know, talking to kids and teaching them about things, they go home and they tell their parents, and you get conversations around the dinner table or the supper table, and parents learn more about it. And that's a very, very useful tool, and this is one of the reasons why I believe in effective education with disaster risk reduction, and because I know that it feeds back to those children, and there's lots of research that supports that.
So after working with the kids, and obviously through distribution on YouTube and sparking interest among the students, how has it sparked more interest with the other teachers and in the teacher community? How is that? I don't know if you're having successful knowledge transfer there or training with teachers.
I get teachers come and email me and from random places, from Japan and from America, and I'm like, oh, I've got a strange email about something. And I got this quite a lot actually after the tsunami as well, because people were saying, well, we found this and can we use this and can I use this bit of your website? And they're very kind and they're very nice. And I say, yeah. And so I've started to get a knowledge transfer going, and that I guess brings me on to why I then started a social network for teachers. And there's lots of social networks for teachers, things like Facebook and Bebo and stuff like that. But do you know what? They're all banned. I don't know if they're banned here, but they're banned at school. You can't get on them, and teachers go, oh. But actually, teachers need to be able to use these things for their effective pedagogies within the classroom and for their students. They need to talk to other teachers. Teachers are magpies. They steal, they borrow, they beg from other teachers around the world, and they learn from good practice. Especially a good teacher will always do that. I've been teaching 6 years. I think I've still got a long way to go in my teaching. I learn all the time. I learn every year, and I think other teachers are like that. So I thought, okay, right, fine, let's try and make a social network like that. And this is why I made the edu for drr.ning.com website. And we're starting to get more and more people. And again, I've got people from England, but I've got many more people from the Philippines and Sri Lanka and India and Thailand, all joining because they want to exchange materials, they want to exchange views, they want to find out about what this person's doing if how effective that is. And we've started forums up now, and I'm hoping, and more and more people join each day, I'm hoping as time goes on we'll have a large community of educators, not just teachers but educators in general, who can help each other out with effective education for disaster risk reduction.
Great.
So that's the idea.
Well, I'm sure it will take off if it's as exciting as your videos. I'm wondering as well about your work or with the government in particular, or on governance issues in education, if you can comment on that. Or
yeah.
Share maybe what are some of the greatest challenges as well as greatest...
I'll give you an example, and this isn't... last year in the UK, there was intense flooding across much of southwest of England, into Gloucester and Worcestershire, but also up towards York and also in Hull. And it affected a large area, because, of course, last year was the kind of the La Nina year, and so what we had was that the jet stream had moved south, and that meant that the storm clouds that normally come across the Atlantic were very, very big, but instead of blowing quite quickly through the UK, it's a wet country, you know, everyone moans about that in London, but instead of doing that, they hung around and they moved very, very slowly. During that time, they dumped huge amounts of water everywhere, and all of a sudden we realised we really weren't prepared within the UK for this, and let's face it, the UK is, you know, one of the leading G8 nations and things like that. It wasn't prepared for the flooding on this sort of scale. But what was worse, I guess, was that people weren't prepared at all, and they really found themselves to be helpless. And what happened was that the government decided to I can't remember, I think it's Sir Michael Pitt, they made him a chair, something called the Pitt Review, was to look at, let's learn the lessons from that, which is a good thing. I think they did a good thing by doing that and by commissioning Sir Michael Pitt to do this. But when the interim report came out, education was mentioned once. And as a teacher, I was like, well, you must surely be able to mention education in this. So I sent a response, from my disaster development centre, and said that I think we should be doing this, and you need to educate in this way, in this way, in this way. And at the same time, the Cabinet Office, well, a little bit later, the Cabinet Office contacted me in the UK, and that's directly attached to the UK government. And so I started, I had a meeting with them and the Department for Children and Families and other people, emergency managers and things like that. And we sat down and we talked about what we were going to do. And one of the things we're trying to do now is to mainstream disaster risk reduction into the national curriculum, which is the main curriculum base for the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom curriculum is undergoing some quite exciting changes at the moment. They're allowing teachers to be more flexible, obviously teach these things, but in a more flexible way, which to my mind means that we can teach disaster prevention, really, I suppose I should say. We can teach that, and we can do well with that. You can do things like GIS mapping, okay? GIS mapping and mapping of a local area around a floodplain. And I know children in York have done this, and it's a very, very, very good example. And that feeds back to the government that this is how you really start to build up a knowledge base. You start with kids, and it goes up through. So that, I guess, I have that side of things with governance. I'm involved with the Knowledge and Education Platform here at UNISDR. Whenever there's a conference or a meeting, I try and get involved in that. And I find that quite useful to find out what's happening nationally in other places, but also where internationally we're moving towards, and whether I can help with that with what I do, and just feed in. Because I guess if there's no one there saying, oh, what about this, then of course it will never get done.
Right.
So I do believe in dialogue. I think that's very, very important. And I think certainly being on the Knowledge and Education Platform helps me with that. And we're helping now to push it on a little bit stage further, so that we have actors on that as well as dialogue, because I think actions obviously speak louder than words.
Right.
And I think that's the truth with, you know, what happens with websites and what kids do. When people actually make changes to their life, that's when I think we have effective disaster prevention. If we go and we teach and we leave, and then the old practices return, we've not really done our jobs, and I think no one really wants that. So I think actors and actions are just as important as words with that.
Excellent. And children are definitely the place to begin.
Well, because they're not afraid to take risks, and risks in a good way now. I'm, you know, I'm not talking about risks in the whole, you know, risk vulnerability and then mitigation sort of, you know, models of disaster risk reduction. I'm talking about risks. They will take a risk with a video camera. They will say, well, what about trying this? And they have great imagination. But also on the other side, they've not made up their minds about, well, that's a load of rubbish.
Right.
They will listen, they'll be open-minded. If at the end of it, though, they think it's a load of rubbish, they will also tell you. And I think that's very important. And we lose that, I think, a little bit as adults, either because we don't perhaps want to hurt someone's feelings or because of social norms or whatever. But children don't always have that. And they're very, very honest. If they like something, they'll tell you. But they'll also tell you if they're afraid.
Yeah.
And if you've helped them to not be afraid by making them feel prepared and actually making them prepared, not just making them feel prepared, but showing them and helping them to discover how to be prepared through different types of experiential learning, for instance, then I feel that then we've started to do our job a lot better.
Great. Justin, can you just tell us where to get more information again? You've got two websites.
Yeah, kids and teachers can go to www.edu4hazards.org, and there's a teacher's area on that site as well as something for kids to just explore, and there's a whole multimedia section including videos that the children have made, so it's a good place to start. And for teachers and educators wanting to join the social network, it's http://edu4drr.ning.com.
Okay, great. Thanks, Justin.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to this edition of People in Disaster Risk Reduction. I'm Sarah Wade Hutman for Prevention Web, Building the Resilience of Nations and Communities to Disasters. Remember, if you have someone you would like to recommend for an interview, you can simply contact us. Click Contact Us from the top right of the PreventionWeb.net homepage. Thanks for listening.